This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
This morning, the thought that's resonating in my soul is on the power of praise. In the book of Acts, chapter number 16, verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now there was a group of people here, Paul and Silas, and they're in a prison, and it's midnight. But man, they realize that something bigger is going on, and so they're praising. And then verse number 25 says that people that are in the same boat, the same situation, that don't have the same outlook as what they have, hear what they are doing. Verse number 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Now stop, time out. Think about this. On one hand, you got a group of people that realize they're in a bad place, but realize God's still good in a bad place. Then you got a group of people in there, they're in a bad place too, and they're happy that other people are getting blessed, but they're not getting blessed, and they're just listening to other people get blessed. And then you got somebody in there that is completely detached from it all. In the same place, hearing the same thing, in the same environment, but wanting one thing, looking for a sword, trying to find a way to end it all. Doesn't that sound exactly like what happens week in and week out in the house of God? You got some people that enjoy it, some people that get happy about it, some people that just absolutely love what's going on. And I mean, they just plumb slap happy about the whole thing. And don't you ever think, if you're visiting with us, don't you ever think that the people happy shouting and getting excited or enjoying this, they ain't got problems. Honey, they're crazy too. You just don't realize what they've realized, and that is they have realized that there is a God that is bigger, higher, and greater than anything that they're going through. Then there's a group of people in here, and you're not really feeling it, but you get excited watching other people feel it. And I'll be honest, I've been there before. I've been in that place before where I wasn't really feeling anything. I wasn't really involved in anything. I didn't really know what everybody was shouting about, but it did something down on the inside of me watching them get blessed. And then there are people in here, I don't know who you are and I don't know why you've come, but some of you are looking for the sword. You're thinking, this is it. I'm done. I've tried everything. I've gone everywhere. I've just accomplished everything I can accomplish, but yet I still have no hope. Brothers and sisters, may I remind you that the same God that was God of the man praising is the same God that was man, God of the man that wasn't praising. He's the same God that is the man, or the God of the man that's willing and ready to take the whole thing. Now look at what it says in verse number 28. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." If you want a King Tyler version of verse number 28, you say it like this. Paul shouted to him, "Don't worry, it's all going to be okay." That's what verse number 28 means. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Honey, Paul and Silas in chapter number 16 have gone from the height of highs down to the low of lows. They started chapter number 16, getting that Macedonia call. They were in Ephesus, and Paul and Silas, it's Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and they're ministering in Ephesus. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 that Paul tells Timothy, stay here and ordain deacons and ordain elders and charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So, I mean, they stay behind, and Paul and Silas go to answer that Macedonian call. But when they get there, they don't find a man of Macedonia. They find a woman named Lydia. And there they preach the gospel, and she becomes the first convert in Europe, where there is now Greece. And so they're preaching. And you know, when God gets to blessing, the devil's going to get to messing. And that's what happens. I mean, a group of Jews get so mad at Paul and Silas. They say, this man is taking everything that we've worked for. You know what it was? There was a girl there possessed with a devil, and they were making money off of her, and they were making their wages off of her, and she was bothering Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas got the Holy Ghost fed up with it. They turned themselves around, looked her square in the eyeballs, and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let that girl go. And honey, she got to shaking, and she ain't stopped shaking ever since, because what was on the inside, that demon, that devil, that anxiety, that fear, that depression, that discouragement, it comes out of her. And what the people in that city realize is, we're going to lose our money because she has gotten right with God. And I'll tell you, that will be the greatest struggle in your life. People around you aren't going to get mad at you because you found Jesus. Not going to get mad at you because you found the Lord. I'm going to tell you what they're going to get penny biting mad at is because you ain't what they are, and you can't help them out anymore. You can't party with them. You're not going out with them. They're not making money off of you. And they got so mad, they take Paul and Silas and throw them, the Bible says, into the innermost part of the prison. Man, they get in there, and I'm talking, it's black, it's bleak, it's dismal, it's dark, it's cold, it's damp, it's disgusting. But you know what Paul realized? God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. And when I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. So old Paul and Silas start having themselves a little service inside there, and this is what the Bible says they do. The Bible says they begin to pray and sang praises. And when they got to doing that, now I know we've all heard messages on that praying in the prison, but what about that praising in the prison? What about the power of that praise? What about the power of your praise when it doesn't look good? Oh, anybody can shout when you got money in the bank, and I can shout when my Bentley's waxed up. And you say, what do you shout like when your Bentley's waxed up? You buy me one, and you see how good I get to shouting about that bad boy. It's easy to shout when the health is up. It's easy to shout when the kids are good. But where are the praisers when the bottom has fallen out? Where are the praisers when the health is not good? Where the praisers when it's all falling apart? Because that's where you find out who really trusts God, who really loves God, and who's really in this thing for what God desires them. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. That word praise, that's an interesting word that you've got to understand if you're going to understand what I'm going to talk about for just a few minutes. Now, that word praise, it literally means to clap or applaud. Now, here's what you're going to find about clapping and applauding. You don't do that silently. I'm not talking about that PGA mess. And I'm praying for you boys that play golf. I know there's some of you in here. I'm praying for those of you that need to get right with God. But anyways, I mean, to get out there, I'm talking about NASCAR Christians. You ever been to a NASCAR race? Let me tell you something right now. You get out there and do that, they'll break your hands, shove them in your pocket, and slap you in the face. I'm going to tell you something. Out there at them NASCAR races, them old Booger Bubbas, I mean, they're out there, and they're hooping, and they're hollering. I mean, they're clapping, they're jumping. I mean, they're throwing. They're acting a fool. You know why? Because what's going on out there, they got no control over what's going on. Have you ever thought about the insanity of that? You have no control on what's going on that track. You've got no say in what goes on that track. But why do they get excited about it? I'll tell you why. Because they've picked a side, and they want to see that side win. They want to know when that car goes in, it's gone in for a purpose. And when they've stopped it for a purpose. And I'm going to tell you what you'll find about a true blue flag. I don't know why I'm preaching to the choir about NASCAR. I can feel the redneck up in here. And so here's what you'll find about those real true blue NASCAR, like Erica's daddy. That's a real true blue. I mean, Dale Earnhardt D3 is still the greatest thing that has ever walked the face of the earth. And we're 25 years into that whatever that is. And so here's what you'll find. It doesn't matter if they stay in the pit a long time, they're still up there clapping. It doesn't matter if there's a flat tire, they're still up there clapping. It doesn't matter if the engine blows out, they're still up there clapping. It doesn't matter if bugs get in the front end, clog up that radiator, they're still up there clapping. You know why? Because they picked their side. They didn't get in this thing to abandon ship. They got into it, and no matter what comes, no matter where it goes, no matter how fast, no matter how slow, no matter if it's a caution or a green, they have come and they are praising. I'm going to tell you, we have got far too many fair weather believers in the house of God. I'm not talking about just in the church house. I'm talking about in your Monday living and your Tuesday living. Oh, anybody can get in here and praise God when somebody gets up here with leather in his lungs, spitting and stuttering and stammering all over the stage, acting like a possessed man. Anybody can raise their hands. What about Monday morning when you wake up and the boss starts cussing you? Where is that fire on the inside that says, God, you're still good, and I just want to say, I know that you are able. Where is it when the doctor says, I'm sorry, I don't know what we're going to do about that? Brothers and sisters, can I tell you something? You're never going to arrive at a place where news like that is easy to take. I don't care who you are, you're never going to get there. But when you realize that I have no control over what happens down there, but I've chosen my side and I'm going to stick with that side, when you realize God is with you, God is for you, God is by you, no matter what goes your way, no matter where it turns, no matter where you go, God is still God. I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to do out loud, clap out loud, say out loud, riding down the road, Lord, I just want to bless you for that tree over there. Lord, people ride with me. They think I've got driving issues. I really don't have driving issues. I have attention issues. You know what my attention issues are? I'm constantly trying to look around at something that I can thank the Lord for, something that I can praise the Lord for. Honey, I get in that Chevy Tahoe. I'm driving a Volkswagen Beetle today because my wife hit the garage door. But I mean, I'm driving in that Volkswagen Beetle and I say, Lord, I want to thank you for both of these cylinders under that hood. I want to thank you that I'm riding down the road in air conditioning. I just try to thank the Lord. I get on the highway. Somebody cuts me off. Honey, I can remember a day when me and them would have gone toe to toe. But when you realize all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. What if that man that cut you off just saved you from an accident on down the road? What you'll find is when you learn to live under the umbrella of God's control, everything that happens is by the divine order and plan of an almighty God. And I'm going to tell you what that'll make you do. If you have half a lick of sense about you, you'll sit yourself down, child of God. Stop getting so upset about everything. Let your nerves be torn out of frame all the time, and you'll sit back and say, Lord, it didn't go my way, but I still want to praise you. I didn't go the way I thought it should go, but I still want to praise you. I don't have nearly as much money as I hoped I'd have, but I still want to praise you. My car's clicking along, but I still want to praise you. I've got this going on, but I still want to praise you. And that's what Paul did in that prison. Now let me give this to you right quick. Why in the world would God include that in the scripture? Why wouldn't you just say, Paul was there and he trusted God, but he gave specific detail about what he did in that prison. He prayed. Now we can all pray. When it's falling apart, it's easy to pray, God, help. What about that singing praise? What about that time when you just stop and say, Lord, so we'll stop and say you're still good. You're still holy. You're still right. Let me give you three powers that will happen when you praise God. Now, I'm not talking about in the prayer. I'm talking about when a child of God does what God created you to do. And you and I were created to praise the Lord. Why do you think the devil fight so hard before you do it, but while you're doing it, it's like something down deep inside of you just bears witness. I'll tell you why. Because you were formed and fashioned and made and molded to worship and to praise the God of eternity. I give you three effects. Load them up, blow them out, do with them what you want. Number one, there are the effects upon the prison. The effects upon the surrounding. You see, that prison is a picture of the situation that you and I are in. That picture, that prison is a picture. Paul's in a bleak place. Paul's in a bad place. Paul's in a binding place. Paul's in a place he can't get out of. So here's what he does. He says, God, if I can't get out of this, I'm going to praise you in this. God, I can't change this, but I can change me in this. And he starts to praise the Lord. Now notice what it does when you praise God in that prison. Number one, it runs off the demons. Notice what it says in verse number 26. Notice what it says in verse number 26. Let's look at verse 25. The Bible says, and at midnight. Say that word with me, midnight. Say it with me again, midnight. You see, times in the Bible mean things. In the Roman watch of the night that began at 6 p.m., there were four watches. The first watch was from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch was from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. The third watch of the night was from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch of the night was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now, each of those watches, if you'll study them out, you'll find that there are some similarities in all of that. For instance, in the fourth watch of the night, that's always when Jesus came to somebody he was coming to. When he came walking on the water, he came walking to them in the fourth watch of the night. But the third watch is an interesting watch, and here's what you'll find about it. Now, I'm getting ready to make your toenails curl up and scratch your back. Are you ready for this? The third watch of the night, which begins at midnight, if you study any type of spiritualism, Kabbalism, it is the most active hour for the demons. You ready for this? You ready? I guarantee you, when you have nightmares, it's between 12 a.m. and 3 a.m. I promise you, if you wake up at any time from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., something inside of you just jolts. There's something about that. I can tell that makes some of y'all just really, really nervous. Are you ready for this? You that are police officers, when does the most violent crime happen? 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. You know why? Because that's when the demons are most active. Are you ready for this? Those of you that have trouble sleeping at night, when is your mind the most tormented? From 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. You know why? That's when the demons are most active. Now watch this. They're in that prison. And Paul's in that prison. And those demons are coming. I mean, can you imagine what those demons were saying to him, Bob? If you'd have just stayed back there, everything would have been okay. If you hadn't come to Europe, everything would have been just fine. You know what Paul did? Paul said, get thee behind me, Satan. I just want to tell God I'm in God's will. And I praise God for God taking care of me. And the demons had to run out of that thing. Ladies and gentlemen, can I go ahead and just help you and your little Baptist theology? Let me button my jacket so you don't think I've lost my mind. If you don't think that the demons of hell are running wild in our nation today, you've got your head buried in the sand and it's set in concrete. You know what's running our government? The demons of hell. You know what's running the entertainment industry? The demons of hell. Do you know what's running the far west and the big cities? It's the demons and devils of hell. That's why drugs are running rampant. That's why alcohol is taking over everything. That's why people can't break the shackles. That's why they can't go to this class and beat it. They can't go to that class and beat it. I'll tell you what that is. That is the demons and the devils of hell. But Paul said this, I'm not going to let a demon shackle me down. You've got to think, there's a bunch of people in that prison that are shackled in those same shackles. Paul said, let me clear me off a spot and get a big dose of the good God that's in my soul. And Silas, I want you to keep get up and raise your hands. And he got to praising God. And the demons can handle a lot of things. They can handle when you preach. They can handle when you sing. But when a child of God gets hooked up to headquarters and starts telling God how good he is, the demons get to trembling and they get to shaking and they get to stuttering and they get to That's why when people come into the house of God that are hooked on drugs or hooked on alcohol and hooked on all that stuff, they can't get help out there. They don't feel any hope out there. But when they come in to the house of God and the people of God get to praising God, there for one time they say, there's got to be hope. There's got to be life. There's got to be mercy. There's got to be grace, because the praise has pushed the demons off the throne. It runs the demons off. Number two, notice this. This is a good one. I thought this was good, Chad. It turns a cell into a sanctuary. Bob, they're in there praising God. They're in there worshiping God. They're in there just going as much as they can. And they've got cold iron bars around them. They've got dirt. They've got rats. They've got mess all around them. And they get to praising God. Now, it's dark. There is no light. It's dark. There is nothing around them. But, man, they get so full of God. And they start praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, the lights turn on. And the lights ain't turned on. And a warmness fills the room. And the air conditioning hadn't been turned off. It's as if somebody has come in there. Somebody that is a light has walked into that room, and somebody that is fire has walked into that room, and somebody that is our song has walked into that room, somebody that is our life has walked into that room, somebody that is our peace has walked into that room, somebody that is our hope has walked into that room. You've come in here today, and the people of God, you didn't know what you were getting into. You just came because somebody invited you, but you came in here and you were expecting one thing, but a whole nother thing has happened. There's warmness bubbling inside of you. There's hope bubbling inside of you. There's joy bubbling inside of you. When you see one child of God stand up and praise, and you see another one stand up and praise, you know what that's done. You say, what kind of thing has that done? Can I give you a Bible verse so you don't think I'm crazy? Write this Bible verse down. Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 3. It says, but he who inhabits the praises of his people. Ladies and gentlemen, when people praise God and when the people of God praise God, you know what the scripture says? It says God inhabits that. He moves into that. He dwells in that. He lives in that. So when people raise their hands in the sanctuary and when people lift their arms in their vehicles and when you say thank the Lord and you say praise the Lord and you're riding down the road and nobody's in the car and you just say, Lord, I just want to tell you how good you are, Jesus. I just want to say thank you for saving my soul, Lord. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for giving me hope. It's like somebody gets in the car. Do you know why that is? Because he inhabits the praises of his people, and he steps in when God's people praise, but when they go silent. You ever been in a dead church? Oh, don't y'all look at me. Half of y'all tell me going out, my church is dead. I wish it was like it. Don't you go sit there. I'll turn the camera on you and point you out to your preacher. Do you know what takes a church from living, dead, to life? The resurrection has to show up. You know what brings the resurrection in? He who inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise God, God shows up. You know why? Because praise is the chariot upon which the King of Glory rides in. Can I give you another one? That's the effects on the prison. You say, I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm weary, I'm discouraged, I'm down. I go to my house and I'm discouraged. I go to my job and I'm discouraged. Instead of looking at the job, instead of looking at your house, instead of looking at your marriage, instead of asking God to change this and to change that, ask God to change you in that. You be the one that brings God to the house. You be the one that brings God in the vehicle. You be the one that brings God to work. He inhabits the praises of his people. And if you want to turn that cell into a sanctuary, they prayed and they sang praises. We'll tell you what you ought to do. This ain't in my notes, but I want to say it. You say, what do you ought to do? I'll give you two ways you can start praising, because I know some of you are real finicky. I get it. First time I prayed, you ain't, but the rest of them are. I mean, I'm telling you, first time I praised God, I've told y'all this story. I was at the Smoky Mountain Gospel Jubilee. Holy Ghost came my way. He said, you better shout or I'm not coming by you again. Son, I jumped up like a Comanche Indian calling in the Braves from their hunt that day. I mean, I shouted, ga, 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 hey, ga, 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 ga. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't have a clue. Man, I didn't know what I was doing. But all of a sudden, I learned that the Bible gives a prescription. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Sound with the trumpet and with the cornet and with the strings. Say, let everything that hath breath say, praise ye the Lord. So I'll tell you what you do. You ready? I got prescription A. The doctor is in the house. Prescription A, this is what you do. In your vehicle, do it all by yourself. I know you'll get embarrassed if people are around you. Do it all by yourself. Just start saying this, praise the Lord. And say it again, praise the Lord. Then say it again, praise the Lord. Then say it again, praise the Lord. Say it again, praise the Lord. You say, how many times do I need to say it? Say it till you feel like saying it. And you just keep saying, Lord, I praise you for that tree. And I praise you for that house. And I praise you for this vehicle. And I praise you for that job. And I praise you for that grocery store. And I praise you for that little restaurant. And I praise you. Keep those little pictures of those kids in your dashboard. You don't look at the odometer anyway. Just cover it up and put that over it. And say, Lord, I want to praise you for that one, and I want to praise you for that one. Here's what you'll find when you start praising him with the mouth. He who inhabits the praises of his people, he'll step into that car, and when you do it when you don't feel like it, all of a sudden it'll start feeling like it. You say, what's the prescription number two? Remember what it says, praise the Lord with the strings, praise the Lord with the cornet, praise the Lord with the tabret, praise the Lord upon the tambourine. Here's what you do, find your favorite gospel song. I'm talking about if it's Amazing Grace, I'm talking anything. I mean, you can sing just any old gospel. It's whatever that one is that ministers to your heart. Put it on your CD player. Put it on your phone. Put it in your ear pods. Go take you a walk and just put it on repeat. And you just keep singing the words. But instead of singing it to yourself, you say, Lord, I want to sing you a song. I just want to sing you a song. And here's what will happen. You'll start singing that song. Next thing you know, your eyes will be closed. Next thing you know, you'll feel something resonate down deep inside. And all of a sudden, that dark situation, that dismal situation, that bad marriage, that bad home, that bad job, that cell turns into a sanctuary because of the power of your praise. Let me give you number two. I got to go. Number two, there are the effects upon the other prisoners. Remember what I said? Paul ain't in that thing by himself, Bob. Who are the prisoners? What are they a type of? They are a type of the people that are in the same boat as you but aren't feeling the same thing as you. I wish, Steve, every Sunday when I came in, people felt what I felt. And then there are some Sundays I come in, can I be honest with you? I don't feel a thing. And I'm just wishing I felt what somebody else felt. I go to some of these revivals, and I mean, I go in with every good intention, don't we? But about two words into the service, I'm looking for the exit ramp. I mean, I'm wondering now, is now the time to fake a Crohn's attack? I mean, I don't have a clue. I'm looking for anything I can do to get off. And then I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, some little old saint of God doesn't have two nickels to rub together. Doesn't have a pot or a penny to her name. She'll stand up. And they're singing a song they've sung 1,000 times. And honey, she'll stand up. And she'll get to waving them hands like that, like she's calling an aircraft. And I'm thinking, oh my, what's fixing to happen? And the next thing I know, I can tell when they're going to get into it. I've been around old time long enough. Honey, they'll raise their hand, and then all of a sudden, they'll cock that head up to heaven and know that they're looking beyond the atmosphere. They're looking beyond the Milky Way. They got their eyes set on another country, and she'll lift them up, and she'll start saying, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. It doesn't take many times like that for her energy, her power, her her glory to start doing something down deep inside, and the Holy Ghost gets to churning in my soul and says, that girl doesn't have two nickels to rub together, and look how thankful she is. What's your excuse, big boy? And the Holy Ghost get to convicting my soul, and I say, Lord, I don't have any reason not to praise your name, and her power has rubbed off on me, and the next thing I know, I ain't learned much more than shout like a Comanche Indian. I just learned how to do it in English. Say amen right there. And I mean, I get up and I run. I mean, I'll shout. I throw my arms, and the next thing I know, somebody else has stood up and started praising. Somebody else has stood up and started praising. Somebody else has stood up and started praising. You know why? Because praise has an effect on other people that are in the same prison as you. You ever looked? I'm going to call out every Baptist sin in the world. I'll get on gluttony tonight. Just come back. You know one Baptist sin we all talk about? Hypocrites. And here's what we think's a hypocrite. Somebody out there that was upset and complaining and mad and just, but they get in here and they throw them hands up and they start worshiping and they start praising. And the devil gets in the inside of me and you, don't you act like he doesn't, and you look at him and say, what a hypocrite. They were just complaining. They were just whining. And now they're praising. And the Spirit of God helped me with this, and we've revealed the other night, Frankie. Spirit of God said, why do you think they're a hypocrite? I said, because they were just complaining. And I got to thinking, maybe when somebody else got to praising, God showed up, because he inhabits the praises of his people. And when God showed up, he laid himself beside their pew and said, you know, you've got no reason to be complaining. You've got no reason to be upset. You've got no reason to be mad. Here's what you got to understand. You don't know how God's dealing with another person. You don't know how the Spirit of God is convicting another person. I'm going to tell you what a lot of Baptists ought to do. It'd be about the best thing. You ought to find you a zipper, and you ought to sew it to the top lip and sew a zipper to the bottom lip and zip that bad boy up and listen twice as much as we speak. You know why? We're not God, and we don't know what God's doing. And maybe they were the one that the Spirit of God has convicted, and now they're standing up praising because they're in a right relationship with God. Now they're praising God because their sins have been washed away. Ladies and gentlemen, your praise has effects on other people. Now, I ain't gonna go with this. Watch this. It shook the foundation. Look at what it says, verse number 26. It says it shook the foundation. Paul's presence didn't shake the foundation, but his praise did. You know what I was thinking about, Heath? You know, me and you, we're really different. I'm calm, cool, and collected. You're very hyper. You're unorganized. I understand. One thing that's different about me and Heath, I know y'all look at me up here and just think I'm wild, crazy all the time. Honestly, when I leave, I'm very quiet. I don't say a lot at the my line. I don't say a lot. You know, not Heath. What you see is what you get. Like, he'll talk to anybody. He'll talk about anything. Not me. I speak my piece in a place, say my deal, and I leave. But I got a problem with that. You'll find people that are a little more introverted in public have a hard time being bold. And I think the Holy Spirit does that to me on purpose. I went the other day, I had something that had to be repaired, a piece of jewelry. And I took my watch, and it was not working. I took it into the jewelry shop, and I went in, and I walked in. And I don't ever like tell anybody I'm a pastor. Too many pastors try to rip people off and try to get stuff for free. I just don't do that. I go in. If they ask what I do, I lie. I say I sell real estate. I don't even talk about it. You know, I just don't even deal with it. I just don't. Because I don't ever want anybody to think I want something for free. I don't. I just want to be left alone. So I go in and I sit down He looks at me, gives me the price, what he thinks is going to be to fix the watch. And he starts telling me about his problems. I told him I was a real estate agent. They can read it. It's tattooed right there. Tell me everything. And so I just start listening. And I said, I do what everybody, and nothing. He didn't have anything. And I felt the Holy Ghost say, tell him how good I am. And I did what all y'all do. I started having that conversation with God saying, I can't do that right here. I'm in the middle, and I'm telling you, this ain't some shade tree mechanic shop or watch mechanic. This is like the real deal shop. I mean, they give you crumpets when you walk in. I'm talking like, you know, the real deal thing. I'm talking like real deal. But I've learned enough, Earl. What God tells you to do, just do it. He said something, I said, well, I'm just going to tell you what I've learned. God is good all the time. And son, I watched him lock up. And I thought, all right, now I know. I said, he ain't just good all the time. He's good every time. And he's good when it works, and he's good when it doesn't work. And he's good when it's up. Now, I'm sitting in the middle of a jewelry shop over at Friendly Shopping. So I'm telling you, this ain't exactly the place you get Holy Ghost Pentecostal. But I mean, when God hit me, it just hit me. And I said, man, he's good when I feel like it. And he's good when I don't. And I got that preacher hack. I said, and he's good when I don't want him to be good. Hey, he's good. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you what that old boy did. He got to crossing his arms, and I saw him shaking. He got to fumbling for papers. He got to looking for the drawer. He said, I'll be right back. Let me get your receipt. He walked away. He stayed gone. I've learned enough to know I wasn't about to back off. I stayed in that gear. He came back. He was just going to throw that receipt at me. Honey, the Holy Ghost had already hit me, though. I knew exactly what God had sent me in that place to do, and he threw that receipt at me. He said, we'll call you Mr. Galden. When I said, well, can I just tell you one more thing before I go? He said, you know, they lower that head. I said, let me just tell you one more thing. I said, I don't know if you believe in God, but God believes in you, and he sent me this way. I said, I'm not a real estate agent. I'm a preacher. He said, I know. I watch you on TV every Sunday. Yeah. I looked at him. I said, let me just tell you one more thing. I said, you may not believe in God, but God believes in you. And he sent this old preacher this way to let you know that he's still big and he's still able and he's still powerful. By this time, I'm telling you, a preacher can get an audience anywhere. The lady at the other desk, she's looking at me. The man at the back, he's looking at me. I said, and he loves you. I said, he loves you and he loves you and he loves you over there. Here's what I'm telling you. When my profession did not shake him, and when my possession did not shake him, when I got to praising God in the middle of that storm, it did something down on the inside of who he was. And this morning, you've come in here, and the songs don't shake your foundation, and the preaching may not shake your foundation, but when somebody gets so happy that they've just got to say, God, I lift my hand and say, blessed be the mighty name of Jesus, it does something to you down deep on the inside. There's power for the prisoners. But let me give you this third one. And I ain't gonna be able to preach this whole thing. Let me give you this third one, Bob. What about its effects on the prison guard? What about their effects on the prison guard? Now, I'm almost done. Let me stay with me for a second. Notice what it says in verse number 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Now watch this. That man is asleep. All that going on, he's asleep. Why would that man knew if he slept, it was a death sentence from the Romans. Why was he willing to risk his life? You ready? It wasn't nothing exciting enough going on to keep him up. Can I tell you why sinners can come into church and leave and stay asleep spiritually? Can I be the poke in the pudding this morning? Because there ain't enough exciting things going on to shake them out of their lethargy. Preachers get up. They whisper through their message. They don't have God in their soul. They ain't spent any time praying. No time getting a word from God. They stole their sermon off the internet. They got this message over there. They got this one over there. The choir gets up. They have not prepared. They have not prayed. They have not thought about it. The nursery workers hadn't thought about it. And the people out back hadn't thought about it. We're just happy that we can be somewhere. No preparation. And no wonder people stay asleep in the house of God. But you let them come into a place that is full of preparation, that's been bathed in prayer and is soaked and saturated in the presence of God, and where people are excited to be in the house of God, excited to be. And the preacher, he may not have a lot of sins, but what he got it from God. And he's got up, he's got leather in his lungs, fire in his soul, no brains in his head, but God pumping on the inside of him. You let him stand up, and you know what it's doing to you right now? It's waking you up. It's waking you out of your sleep. And you're here right now saying, why haven't I seen this whole time? You know what it's done? It's shaking you out of your sleep. Awaking out of sleep. Now I want you to watch something. I'd never seen it until the other day driving home. Notice what it says in verse number 29. Then the prison guard, he called for a light. Paul never one time offered him light. But when he heard the praise mixed with the shaking in the foundation, he said, I got to see what's going on. Light in the Bible is a picture of the Spirit of God's work. You know what? I have such a hard time with modern day evangelism techniques. Let's knock on 1,000 doors. Let's say 1,000 people got saved and none of them come to church. You know why? They didn't want the light. They didn't want the light. But you let a sinner get shook. Some of you here today and your situation has shook you to pieces. And now you're starting to be surrounded by the praise. And you know what you're saying? Where's the light? Where's the light? How do I know that? Look at what he says in verse number 30. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He had never one time thought about Jesus Christ. Never one time thought about Jesus Christ until somebody else's praise mixed with the shaking in his soul woke him up. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And sir, you may be thinking that same thing right now. You've come into this place and you're saying, it was all over. I'm done. But I've heard what you people are talking about. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul answers. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.